Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus claimed to be God. He said, I'm God coming in human form, and I'm going to prove it by dying and 3 days later coming back to life. There were plenty of eyewitnesses. Jesus was who he claimed to be, and his resurrection from the dead actually happened. Today, let's answer the question, so what? So what? What's the big deal? What difference does it make? How can something that happened 2,000 years ago relate to us here today? There are two very important truths that we learn from Christ's resurrection from the dead. Understand these truths, practice them, and your stress level will go way down substantially. Worry and frustration decreases, and peace of mind dramatically increases, and the ability to handle problems in your life will increasingly grow. So, what are those truths? Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves two things. God is in control, and God always keeps his promises. Father, as we look to your word now, we pray that by your Spirit, you will speak to us, and that we will listen, and we will allow you to do in us what you are desiring to do this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, God is in control. The religious leaders were saying, let's get rid of Jesus. He's such a problem to us, and perhaps we can only silence him by killing him, and that will be the end of it. They didn't realize how this was actually fitting in with God's plan. Matthew 16, 21. We read, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So while they thought their little plan would solve their problem, God was really in control. Proverbs 16:1 says, we may make our plans, but God has the last word. You arrive at emotional maturity the moment you realize that your life is beyond your control. You didn't choose when or where you were born. You didn't choose your parents or your race. You didn't choose the abilities that God gave you. You had nothing to do with that. They were beyond your control. Even today, though you can control your reactions to things, you can't control most events that happen to you. For instance, you cannot change the past, no matter how hard you try. You can't predict the future. And you can't make time slow down because you just have too much to do. You can't force people to think and do what you want them to do. You cannot control the economy nor influence events in the world that affect you. You cannot make people love you. And as some of us have very painfully learned, you cannot keep your loved ones from dying. Most of the things that really count in life are beyond our control. And because there is so much of your life that you cannot control, that causes stress. Stress is caused primarily by trying to control the uncontrollable, to manage the unmanageable, by trying to make people do and see things my way, by trying to make things happen that are beyond my control. It causes stress. And when you are stressed, what do? You worry. You worry. Worrying is a futile attempt at control. While you cannot control so much of your life and what happens, you can control your response. On the other hand, God is in complete control. There is nothing that God cannot control because He made it all. So how does that comfort me that God is in control? How does that reduce my stress? God says in the Bible that He wants to help you manage the things that are unmanageable in your life. If you will but trust Him, He'll help you to deal with the issues that are out of your control. He will give you His power, the same power He demonstrated when He raised Himself from the dead 2,000 years ago. He says He wants you to have that same kind of power. He wants to help you to have that same kind of power. He says, in effect, I'll give you the power in your life to handle the things that you cannot manage on your own. The Bible says God's great power is available to help us who believe in Him. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. There's a condition here. Notice a phrase there in Ephesians 1:20 that I just read, available to help us. Available to help us. It's only available to those who believe. You have to trust God. You must come to a point in your life where you say, I have been trying to make this relationship work, and it's not. So I turn it over to You, God. Or, God, my finances are such a mess. Please help me with them. Whatever you need God to help you with, you must trust Him with it. And say, I believe You will help me. You said You would if I asked in faith. And I'm asking in faith. I believe that You will. How do you know when you're really trusting God to help you with the problem? How do you know when you're really believing that He's going to help? It's simple. You stop worrying. Worry is like a warning light, like a bright red flashing light. When we try to figure out everything on our own, we start worrying. On the other hand, when I stop trusting God, I stop trying so hard. He says, I want to help you, but you must first give it to Me. God says in Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with My righteous right hand. He has the power and He is in control. Now let's get personal. What is out of control in your life? What would you like to change, but you can't? Even with your best efforts, nothing seems to work. Maybe it's your kids, your health, your finances. What do you worry about the most? Would you agree that God has resources that you do not have? He says, I'll help you. I'll be with you. I will strengthen you. I will give you the power that you need if you just trust Me. So whatever seems to be out of control and seems unmanageable in your life, your schedule, for instance, whatever seems to worry you the most, give it to God. Well, you may not be able to manage it. He can. He can. God is in control if you will let Him. The second thing that we look at is that God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. The other thing that Easter proves is God keeps His promises. How do we know that? Long before Jesus Christ came to earth, He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and went back to heaven. And God promised that He was going to do that. Long before He did it, He promised that's what was going to happen. Numerous times, that was promised. He said, someday I will come to earth, and I'll be called the Messiah. I'll come in human form so I can reveal to you what God is really like. Now, I can't relate to some force beyond the stars, but when I see God in human form like Jesus, I can understand. Jesus said, when I come, I'll show you how to live, first of all. Secondly, He said, I'll pay for all your sins. And thirdly, I'll show you the way to heaven. And then fourth, I'll reveal to you my purpose for your life. You are not here on earth by accident. Jesus said, I put you here for a reason, not just to take up space and die, but you are here for a purpose. He made all these promises to us. And when Jesus came, He revealed several things about His life here. The most famous one being, I'm going to let these people kill me. And 3 days later, I'm going to raise myself from the dead. Walk around so people can see me again. And this will prove I am who I claim to be. God always makes good on His promises. Notice what the Bible says in Numbers 23:19. God isn't like people. He doesn't change His mind. When He says something, He does it. And when He makes a promise, He keeps it. In the Bible, there are several thousand promises, most of them for you and for me. They're like gift certificates waiting for you to cash and to use. Over and over again in the Bible, God says, if you will do that, then I will do this. If you'll trust me about that area of your life, I will do this and bless you. Thousands of times, one of God's great promises is about heaven. What is heaven? What's heaven? One has written, heaven is a destination and a reward. Heaven is relief from earthly hurts and regrets and disappointments and trials. Heaven is reunion with those we love. Heaven is our real home, our true country. He goes on to write, it is an everlasting Easter and a billion Christmases. Heaven is an end to sin's sorrows and to heaven's and to death's sting. It is the eternal, ongoing, ever-growing experience of God. If I took a survey with you here this morning and you were truthful, the fact might come out that many of you are not really excited about the thought of heaven. Why is that? It's because we've been sold a lot of myths about it. Heaven does not sound very interesting to us. In movies, heaven is portrayed as usually completely white. There's no color. Everything is white. It really doesn't look very interesting at all. And you've been told a bunch of things that are simply untrue. Let me assure you that that is not found anywhere in the Bible. In the first place, you will not be an angel in heaven. You will be you. The Bible says heaven, God has been preparing heaven for thousands of years, and it will be a far better place than earth. The Bible says you can't even imagine how cool heaven is going to be. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to be a place of no pain, no suffering, no mosquitoes, no pimples. It'll be so awesome that you can't even dream it. Look at 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5. God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life that is kept in heaven for you. And God will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. There's a couple of things to know about heaven. The Bible says heaven is not for everyone. God has reserved it for his children. Have you put your reservation for heaven yet? Or are you just planning to show up before God one day and said, well, I just didn't have time for you on earth. I didn't listen to what you said. I never got to know you or your son, Jesus Christ. I never discovered why what you put me on earth to do. I did my own thing, but I was a good person. So can't you let me in heaven right now? That would be incredibly arrogant. The Bible says that heaven is only reserved for God's children. You say, well, aren't we all God's children? No, we are not. The Bible makes it clear that God created everyone in the world, no doubt about that. And the Bible makes it very clear that God deeply loves everyone in the world, no doubt about that. But you are not automatically a child of God. You must affirm, God, I want to be a part of your family. I want to get to know you and your son, Jesus Christ. I want to learn to trust you. And I want to live the plan that you put me on earth to live. So how do I become a child of God? That is the most important question you will ever ask. What does God say in his word? The Bible. It says about becoming a child of God in John 1:12. It says, to all who believed him, that is Jesus Christ, and received him. Those are the two conditions. Believe him and receive him. He gave the right to become children of God. This is not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth, which comes from God. When you were physically born, you were born into the family of the human race. But when you believe in Jesus Christ and receive him into your life, you are spiritually born into God's family. He says, you have trusted Christ when you have said, Jesus Christ, I'm trusting you to get me into heaven because you are perfect and I am not. I don't stand a chance of getting into a perfect place on my own goodness. I've already blown it. You will not ever have to worry about it ever again after you have received Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You're headed for heaven because you have put your trust in the death and resurrection of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise about the hereafter. And God is also interested in what's going to happen between now and when you die. In fact, he's interested in the problems you are facing right now. He's interested in the things you worried about this morning. Another of his promises comes from Jesus himself. In Matthew 11, in the Message paraphrase, we read, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me for real rest. You'll recover your life, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I don't know a more needed promise in our day. A lot of people I know are not really living, they're just existing. They're living in survival mode. So why are most people living in survival mode? Why are most people not really living the way God wants them to live? The reason is because they're under so much stress, because they are trying to be the God of their own lives. They will not let the real God be God in their life. And every time you try to take everything into your own hands, God is saying, "I never intended for you to live your life just on your own willpower. No wonder you're tired all the time. I want to help you and have a close, personal relationship with you, ongoing, every day. I'll give you the strength for each day to make it." Whatever problem you're facing, no need for despair in that day. Because God is in control, and he promised that he would help you. He brought this here today so he could say this to you about the hurt that you're carrying and the stress that you're feeling. He says, "You really matter to me. I created you. I formed you for a purpose. I have a reason for you being on earth. And I love you. You matter to me. That problem you're facing, I see it. I know it's there and I care about it. I want to help. Why don't you let me?" Regardless of the problems you're facing, Jesus Christ has promised to help you if you will turn your life and your problems over to him. He can help because he has the resources that you do not have. Since he is in control and since he is God, there is no problem that you are facing that God cannot solve. If you're carrying a heavy load of worry and stress and grief and resentment, he wants to carry you. And since God always keeps his promises, and since God is in control, what should be my response to this? What should be your response to this? God wants you to do two things. One, he wants you to get to know him personally. And you do that through faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, he wants you to trust him. You can't trust him until first you really know him. You don't trust people you don't know. God says in Proverbs 9:10, "Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding." 1 Timothy 6:23 says, "Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God." If you don't know God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have missed it. You've missed the very reason why you were put on earth. And that's a tragedy. You were not just put here by accident. God says, "I want you to know me." God knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he still loves you. The amazing thing is this, he still wants you to know him. Does it blow your mind that God cares about you? The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you? You knew something was missing in your life. It was having a relationship with the Creator who made you. This resurrection day, take the first step and say, God, I want to know you. And not just know about you. I want to know you. I want to know the purpose you put me here on earth. Jesus Christ, I want to get to know you and understand all that you did for me. I'm going to close with prayer. And let me encourage you to make this your prayer here today. You don't have to pray it aloud. God knows your thoughts right now. But pray along with me. Dear God, thank you that you keep your promises. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to make a way for me to go to heaven. Forgive all I have done wrong. I accept the forgiveness that you have promised. Jesus, I want to get to know you better and trust you more. I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. I want you to help me discover the purpose you've put me here on earth for, to follow it and to fulfill it. I'm going to trust you to help me through this life. And I'm trusting you to take me home to heaven when I die. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd encourage you to just let us know. You can call the church number and leave a message. The number is 715-258-8857. Someone will get back to you to be able to help you in this newfound walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these folk who have placed their faith in you here this morning. That, Lord, they will know beyond any doubt that you are theirs and they are yours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.